Welcome to Geek Speak, presented by Data 3 on News 1023 and AM 740 KRMG. Database management, IT outsourcing, application development, disaster recovery, Mac versus PC, and more. Geek Speak is Tulsa's local expert show when it comes to information technology. Give them a call at 918-460-KRMG or text your questions to 95920. Now, Geek Speak, presented by Data 3 on News 1023 and AM 740 KRMG.
Good afternoon, Geek Speak. Rumbling, stumbling, rolling along again on this Sunday afternoon. Bob Cooper here. Our phone number, important if you have a question, comment, anything about the geekdom, whether it be an IT issue, security issue, you lost everything on your hard drive. There's not a question these guys have not answered yet. And correctly, I would point out, 918-460-KRMG. Text your questions to the geek at 95, or geeks, we have a bunch of them in here today, 95920. And now the guys who pull the wagon, who drive the bus this Christmas time of year, the saints of the sleigh ride. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Dave Harrelson of Data 3 and Robert Morris of Mizzou. Good afternoon, guys.
How you doing today, Bob?
Couldn't be better. Robert has an answer also.
Good to see. I think Robert does have an answer. How are you, sir?
I would say it's a wonderful day to be live and living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is what I would say, Dave. And Bob.
Somehow I expected you to say that. I don't know why.
I guess I'm in a rut.
It's a part of a theme, isn't it? It's kind of a theme. Well, we just want to welcome all the Geek Speak listeners to the show today. It's going to be a fantastic show. We've been waiting for a while to have this one. We've got in the studio with us today a couple of guest hosts and that are gracing us with their time and presence here. I've got Major Coy Jenkins from Rogers County Sheriff's Department. Just want to say thanks for dropping by today.
Yeah, we appreciate you having us out here too, Dave.
I am looking forward to getting into your subject matter expertise for sure. And just next to you, we've got Rogers County Deputy and IT Director Nathan Parks.
Hello, how's it going, man?
He's a show
veteran. Good to have you back, Nate.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Nathan's a show veteran to the Geek Speak show, and I tell you what, if you've got any questions that would be lined up for him, which would be anything security-wise, ransomware kind of stuff, how to avoid being socially engineered online, something like that, go ahead and get your calls coming in to us. We've got a great subject today. It's going to be search and rescue, what search and rescue is, and how first responders use technology to enable a better search and rescue outcome. And we're going to get into that in segment two. Just a little bit, about 10 minutes away, we're going to jump into that. But first, you know, the Geek Speak show, we look at it kind of like a public service. I mean, Robert and I like to make sure that the listeners out there are aware of things that's going on in the IT community. And one of the things that's going on right now is Microsoft has issued an emergency Windows security update for a critical vulnerability. This particular vulnerability involves the remote code execution vulnerability, and it's a malware that's coming in. Robert, why don't you and Nate tell the listeners what's going on with this particular
cap it off, but in essence, the thing that is supposedly released that is supposed to stop these things from happening for Microsoft, which is the Windows Defender. They also have something called the Microsoft Security Essentials and their Endpoint Protection and the Forefront Endpoint, and this also impacts Exchange Server 2013, Exchange Server 2016. It's impacting Windows 7, 8, 1, 10, all versions of Windows that we're currently using right now, but
lets hackers take over, right? Take over your computer.
Exactly. They actually can execute code that ultimately gives you the ability to become, you know, the system admin of the computer. So the release date of the actual patch is 12/7/2017. So it's only been out for about 3 days. So everyone needs to do their Windows updates on their computer and make sure they keep their Windows up to date, especially on your servers and your critical machines. I think, Dave, they didn't want to be outdone by Apple having their little root password issue from last week that we mentioned. And also, people need to know if they have a Mac OS and they've done the High Sierra update, they still need to log in with that root user and set the password. Everybody needs to know about. I know it's not on our agenda today, but
we're going to have to keep hammering that for a while, because that's such a gaping security hole, and I'm just floored that Apple would let a major release go out with a flaw like that in it. But I'll bet you it doesn't happen again, because one thing about Apple, they do learn from their mistakes, and I'll bet you it doesn't happen again.
I promise you that.
All right. Well, we've got a second public service announcement here from, and this is coming to you from Hacker News. We're always transparent when it comes to where we get our information. So if you want to go out there and look at these, go to hackernews.com.
The Hacker News, Dave.
That's right.
TheHackerNews.com.
TheHackerNews.com, and you can read this for yourself. But basically what happened was a keylogger came pre-installed on over 460 HP laptop models. Nathan, tell us what a keylogger does so the listeners can understand what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. A keylogger is a piece of software or program that basically tracks everything you do on a computer, every key you hit or every mouse motion, if you click on something or anything of that nature. So if you go to a website, you go to your banking website, you log into your banking website, you type your username, your password, that keylogger tracks all of that. And then it's transmitted or saved to a local file so that someone else can collect that information and steal your data, basically.
And it makes it real easy because basically they get a file sent to them that has your username, your password, and exactly what website you were on when you used the username password. They just log in as you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Robert, you got anything to add to that? Have you ever seen a keylogger?
Well, what firsthand? I have to add to that is the having multiple ways of authenticating. You know, sometimes when you log into your Facebook or your bank site or something like that, you get that second authentication from your cell phone.
It's called multi-factor.
This is one of those reasons why you want something like that. So if they even have your username and password, it makes it really hard for them to use it. Now, the next thing we're going to talk about is this Android flaw, Dave, and we'll get into that next, and we'll talk about how that might also create a problem with the second.
It could very well create a problem. I just want to add something on there, a little plug for Data 3. One of the things that our developers are absolutely genius at is coming up with multi-factor authentication schemes. So if you have an application with protected information behind it that's sensitive, and you're worried that maybe, you know, if a keylogger were to be loaded on one of your employees' computers, that usernames and passwords could get out there in the public, then you need to contact Data 3 because we can write a security front end onto your custom application, and we can do a dual or even a triple level authentication to make sure that even if somebody gets the username and password, you know, they also have to have a code, they have to have a fingerprint, or they have to have something in order to triple authenticate and keep your information safe. So 918-237-4400 if that's you. Let's get into this Android flaw. It says this flaw lets hackers inject malware directly into apps without alerting signatures. What do you think that's going to do, Robert?
Well, it's dubbed Janus, so apparently the people who named it were big fans of Demolition Man. I don't know. It sounds like to me anyway.
So, yep.
They're probably geeks, too. I'm just saying.
Most of them are.
But this vulnerability basically allows somebody to send out what looks like a bogus update to an app, and they can completely they can get this app rolled out on your phone basically without updating the certificate, whether the certificate's updated or not. So, you know, it gets real technical. One of those things you want to go out on the Hacker News and kind of read up on it. But long story short, it's the kind of zip files that they use, compressed files they use, they're injecting code there where it shouldn't be or was not supposed to be. And they have now updated it. And so if you're doing – this is one of those times when you get a phone update, you should probably always do it. Because there's something like this in the background that is serious. You know, sometimes it's just because they change the way your texting works or something like that. And there are some things that are annoying when you get an update. But when you're fixing a plug or plugging a hole like this, this is the reason why you want to go ahead and do your update. So if you've got an Android phone, you should be on the latest version of the OS, and that's pretty much the best way to avoid these kinds
of things.
That's
really the only way to avoid this one because it goes so far back that, I mean, this can even get into older versions like Lollipop and some of the other earlier versions of Android. So, Nathan, do you want to tack on anything here on the Android problem?
Well, actually, I was going to say something about all four issues you guys have mentioned, about the Mac OS issue, the Microsoft Security Essentials, and then the keylogger for HP. And then now the Android flaw. Those are all four major companies that put a lot of money into security. It just shows you that we live in a time where you have to be cognizant of security. If you're a sysadmin and you're avoiding security, you're looking for a lot of trouble. You have to be focused on security.
Yeah, you're definitely going to be looking for a new job soon, too.
Absolutely.
And it also brings to light that it doesn't seem to matter how big a company that you're dealing with. You
exactly.
know, Microsoft's a pretty good size one, so is Apple. They make mistakes. And mm-hmm. so, you know, if you don't want it out there, don't put it out there because somebody's going to get a hold of it, you know.
And if you're a normal daily user, let's say you don't run a big network, you're just a normal daily user, two things. Updates. And don't use the administrator account.
Do not.
You know, that is one of the most important things. I'm glad you brought that up, Nate. Every time when I've had people logging into a network, unless there's some reason why, and there are some reasons, we always make sure that they're not running local admin accounts.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Definitely not domain account.
All right, we got to go to a break. Take it, Bob.
This may be the most information-packed first 11 minutes of the show ever. I mean, you've exceeded the 10% useful information.
10% usable information exceeded.
That's right. All ready to go here. 918-460-KRMG or 95920 to text your messages to the Geeks on GeekSpeak on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome back to Geek Speak on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. It's 4:21. Bob Cooper here along with Dave Harrelson, Robert Morris, as always, and Major Coy Jenkins and Nathan Parks for the Rogers County Sheriff's Department. Phone number to call your questions in, 918-460-KRMG. Text the messages at 95920. And remember, if you missed the first 20 minutes, you missed a ton, especially security-related stuff. And if you're sensitive, check it out. iTunes or Google Play tomorrow afternoon. This show will be there in its entirety. Download, listen, and learn.
That's right. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people tuning into the podcast of this show because we got great subject matter. And right now we're going into segment two, and we're going to light up here Mr. Jenkins and Mr. Parks, and they're going to tell us all about search and rescue. Thank you for coming into the studio today, and gentlemen, and tell us a little bit about, let's just start with the basic question. What is search and rescue to you guys?
Dave, I'll address that. You know, Wikipedia says virtually that search and rescue usually means the search for and provision of aid to people who are in distress or imminent danger. The general field of search and rescue includes many specialty subfields typically determined by the type of terrain the search is conducted over. So, in essence, you know, you have mountain rescue, urban search and rescue, air sea rescue, and the one that our team deals with more commonly, and that's ground search and rescue or wilderness search and rescue.
Okay. All right, so let's try to paint a picture here. What's a typical search and rescue operation look like to you guys? I know in talking to Nathan, you guys had some recent kind of some pretty
for sure
very very interesting search and rescue scenarios, right?
We have basically when someone's reported missing, our patrol deputies they get called to location, they receive the initial information. Then they contact myself via telephone call and provide a quick briefing of the details in order that I can determine a priority of information, a possible location to set up our command post, and any other initial facts that could assist our team in developing the quickest and smoothest response to the critical incident. Step one, I would say, would be involved the paging out of our entire team and resources, and it's a huge team. We use GroupMe phone application to do that. Step two would be assigning a deputy at the scene to acquire a scent article for our canines. Eventually, okay. We'll be doing a search there.
All right.
Step three entails placing a personal call to those members of our canine team and increasing their response to the location because they're generally the first set of resources that we'll activate. Step four entails setting up the command post. Five would be involving the intelligence gathering, which is very important. That not only includes getting a photograph and getting descriptors, but developing a wealth of information about the medical, emotional, personal information on the victim.
Okay, I got a question for you right there. What would you say, what percentage of that information that you're trying to gather in the shortest period of time as possible, I would assume, what percentage of that would you say is electronic information?
Oh, once I sign that out, you're probably looking at probably 60%, because I'll have a team working on social media. I'll have another team checking cell phones if they're available. And then somebody is constantly on the computer just trying to find out information. And all of this is in addition to another group that are sitting down and conducting a personal interview with the family members.
Okay. Now, when that electronic information is gathered in, is that you, Nathan? Are you pulling that information together?
A lot of times, yeah. It just kind of depends on the scenario. And you have to remember, on a search, you never know which of your staff members can make it. So you're like, you never know when it's going to occur, where it's going to occur, who can make it, who's tied up, who's not. And so the team, we've realized, has to be very interchangeable. And this all happens at the speed of light. So imagine a page goes out, Major Jenkins sends out that page, and we all converge at a location. And now we all step into these different roles, whether it be collecting information, intelligence, interviewing the family, gathering pictures, creating search sectors, starting to look at resources and assets to send out different directions. This is all happening at the speed of light.
And
it may be dark, and it may be 30 degrees.
I heard Major Jenkins say that you guys use Group Me.
Yes.
And tell us how that helps you guys out real quick.
Well, it's a real quick way. You know, I can put a message out to the entire group, and they respond back to me, yes, they're in responding, or no, they're not going to be able to. I can put out pertinent information real quick via a message alert to everybody. It basically gets us to the scene in gathering this information so that everybody knows what's going on, where they're going to, and what kind of a search we're involved in.
Okay, and this a little bit, I don't know a whole lot about GroupMe, but I do know it doesn't have some of the same limitations that just using your basic text message capability on your phone. Like, you can only do, I think, maybe nine or so, maybe 10 in a normal text message, and I think GroupMe, it's kind of unlimited, right?
Yes, and that's why we went to it. We were trying to do originally text message, and that's what we ran into. Several people were not getting the text, and we were like, mm-hmm. So we started looking forward to something else, and that's when we came up with GroupMe.
And you can also do private messaging back and forth, so not everybody in the group has to see every single communication, right?
Yes, correct. And that's real important, because these guys talk nasty about me all the time.
Well. Especially Nathan, right?
Yes,
exactly.
He's the worst.
All right. Well, I know we're getting ready to go to break, but I know you guys are introducing, you've got canine units, you've got ATVs, and you've got horses, and all those are really cool. Man, I want to get into the drones and how you guys use GPS and phone tracking and stuff like that. I do want to talk about the ATVs and horses too, though, but I want to make sure that we're allowing you guys enough time. We're going to take entire segment two in order to continue this conversation with Major Jenkins and Deputy Parks over here. And if you guys have any questions, maybe you've known a family member that was involved in a recovery or search and recovery type effort, and you have some questions for the experts here, give us a call. And how do they get a hold of us, Bob?
They get a hold of us at this very moment. 918-460-KRMG. That's 5764. Text message number 95920. If you're afraid to talk, just want to prefer typing over talking, that's okay. We'll handle you either way.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Well, we still got 1 minute before we go to break, so I'm going to turn it back here to Major Jenkins to tell us a little bit more about those resources that you employ in order to recover people quickly.
Well, as you stated, we have a mounted patrol unit, and it's an exceptional team. Right now, we've got 15 members on that team. We had as many as 25, but people moving around, getting other opportunities, and things have kind of cut it down. But that our ATV, our rope rescue, technical rope rescue team, it all goes. And we'll tell you more about it when we come back.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Take it away, Bob.
More of Geek Speak after a news and weather break on News 102.3 KRMG. 918-460-KRMG. The phone number, 95920. The text number to get to the Geeks. Another hot half hour to go on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. back we are with Geek Speak. Another 25 minutes or so to go here on News 102.3 KRMG. Bob Cooper here along with Dave Harrelson and Robert Morris, as always. And today's special guests, Major Coy Jenkins and Nathan Parks from Rogers County, America. Glad to have you guys with us today. Our phone number, if you want to have a, if you want to make a question, just call up. Ask them about anything. Does it have to be computer related?
Oh, technology, anything. It doesn't matter.
Anything techie. Yep. We're talking a lot about security. A lot of people are concerned about that. 918-460-KRMG. Text messages, welcome at 95920.
You know, if you're listening to the Geek Speak show, you probably know who Robert and I are, but we get new listeners every week, so we're going to throw it out there real quick because we've got a hot topic on today's show with the first responder issues. But if you have a software development need, if you need some custom software written, maybe you've got a server, maybe you've got racks and racks and racks of servers, and you just want to get them out of your building. You just want to get them into a safe, secure environment where there's redundant power, redundant cooling, multiple internet connections, and where things don't tend to ever go down. If that sounds nice to you, if that would help you, quote, relax, then you need to call us up at Data 3. And our number is 918-237-4400. And our motto is definitely relax. You can also look us up on www.datathree.com. Robert, tell them about MizOak.
Managed Information Systems of Oklahoma, Dave. We've been around since about 1998 and with the same name and a lot of the same people. If you have a network and you or even a standalone computer and you need our help, we're always available. And our number is 918-234-9991, www.misok.com. I'll be glad to come out to your place of business, do a free walkthrough, and do a health check of your network and make sure that everything's running smooth and you have redundancy and backups and all those sorts of things. And just call the number 918-234-9991 and we'll come take care of you.
It's extremely important. You know, the power went off at my house this morning. I don't know why. You know, it was, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. The wind wasn't blowing that hard, but boom, the power went out. And it just, it's just a reminder that power is not promised. Except
right.
when you're in a data center, then it's promised. And if something happens, then you got a single throat to choke, and that's mine. So if you don't want your power to go down or your internet to go down or, you know, somebody to breach through your security and steal your information, do give us a call, 918-237-4400. We're going to get back on our first responder search and rescue topic today. We've got Major Coy Jenkins in here, subject matter expert with Deputy Nathan Parks, and you guys are going to tell us a little bit more about the resources and the different technologies that you guys have used to find people, and specifically some people that you had to find real quick because cell phones were dying and stuff like that, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about any one of those scenarios that involved some of the technology that you guys used.
Well, I will say this for sure. When your loved one is missing, don't you want public servants and public safety to do everything they can to find your loved one? So this is where we really realize that technology is really something we need to leverage and take full advantage of every opportunity we can, whether that be using that to organize our assets and keeping track of them so our staff members and our team doesn't get hurt or lost themselves. So you imagine it's 2:00 in the morning and it's 30 degrees outside and we're out there searching for your loved one. We don't want to be searching for one of the other team members also. We want to, you know, make sure we take care of them. But then also with the advent of location services and things like that on cell phones, it's also very eye-opening too. It's like, hey, look, can we ping that person's cell phone? Or are there resources that are going to help us find where they're at, you know, in that context, whether it be an app or something of that nature? So, and then also as far as keeping organized, it does greatly help us know that, hey, look, we have our canines going this way. They're tracking that direction. Our mounted patrol is going this way, and we have mounted patrol going that way, and we have two ATVs going that way and another one going that way, and we have this patrol car and these 17 people on foot, you know?
Okay. So, like, for me, I've got multiple kids at home, but I've only got one that has a cell phone right now, and one of the things that annoys me or concerns me a little bit is having his location services turned on. But what you're saying is if you're in a scenario where either that child might get separated from you or maybe they're just going to be out with a group that you're not there with them or whatever, make sure those location services are turned on. Is that right?
Well, and here's the thing. Location services really are a double-edged sword. Some apps will collect collect that information and transmit it to places you don't want it going to.
Right.
So, for example, Snapchat has a recent update that occurred a couple months back that there's a map. You can see where people are at on Snapchat. Well, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
Especially if you have children and who knows what's going on there. But on the flip side, location services may actually prevent a search altogether. So let's say your family is at the fair or Silver Dollar City, right? And you notice your son is missing, well, but he's got his phone on, and you pull out your phone, locate, oh, he's down there at that right over there. Now, instead of trying to look through 1,000 people in a very small area, now you know exactly where he's at.
Right.
So it is definitely a double-edged sword. I would say, parents, enter into it cautiously. Do your homework. Do your research. But also realize that in the context of what Koi and I do, those things are very important. And then also something Koi and I really learned a few searches ago that we've realized that is absolutely critical now is that most phones, how long does the battery life of a phone last?
Boy, and that's real important. And, you know, particularly when you start talking about children and teenagers, they're constantly using a lot of data on their phone. And the most recent situation that that we had, Nate, remember we had a teenager that was arm's way, and we're trying to do a ping on the phone and trying to work through Snapchat, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And we only had a period of time in which we were going to be able to effectively communicate with that phone because he had been using so much data talking with other people, and sure enough, it went down on us.
Yep. And that phone, like you said, it ended up dying during the middle of the search, and we could tell that phone actually went dead at one point. And so we were literally flying blind. And going into that night, we were getting into late afternoon. That night, it was going to be 34 degrees, and that individual is right next to what we think was right next to about 1 square mile of solid woods.
Yes.
So could you imagine that individual getting into those woods that cold, no phone, no nothing?
How about the duck hunters? That was two winters ago, wasn't it, out at Ulagal?
Yeah, on the lake, absolutely. That case, a boat capsized. Two individuals went into the water. One of the phones was destroyed. I happened to be at dispatch that exact moment. Ended up jumping on the phone with one of the individuals. We were trying to ping their phone, trying to find where they're located. Cell phone towers were struggling locating them. We just knew it was 7.5 miles this direction from a cell phone tower. Well, if you know Ulagal Lake, it's about 20-something miles long, and a couple, some places it can be 2 miles wide. So it's a massive, massive area to search. In that case, that individual's phone was at 4% when I was talking to them on the phone.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. In that case, I literally had him describe what he could see on any bank of anywhere, and I grabbed one of our longest-time deputies, Captain Hayes, said, hey, do you recognize any of this? And we literally took Google Earth and went down and kind of found what we thought he could see on the bank. And then we sent Major Jenkins up along the side of the lake there, outside of our jurisdiction a little bit, but this is an important situation. And sure enough, Jenkins had some binoculars there that he could easily see, well, some nautical binoculars, and just happened to be able to see some slight movement on the water about a mile and a half out in the water. Right, Jenkins?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's critical. So when you're talking about technology, you take equipment like binoculars, and suddenly, guess what? It becomes technology.
Absolutely.
Do you know, and something about this that has to be remembered, a lot of times, like, so we've talked about different apps and different things like that, and I think we may go that way here in just a few minutes, but some of those apps will grab longitude and latitude from satellites.
Yeah, I think Glimpse is one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And so in that context, if you're trying to help your loved one and your children are missing, sometimes finding them via cell phone network is one thing, but if you find them via satellite, you get exact longitude and latitude, and that can be within, is it 3 feet? Is that what the federal standard is?
Yeah, about 3 feet for the commercial system, yeah. It's a lot more accurate for the military system, but they give us about 3 feet resolution.
Yeah, so if Major Jenkins and I are looking for someone, we have a 3 feet area to look in as opposed to a mile and a half area, there's a big difference there.
You can find somebody within 3 foot, I think. Even if you were just having to feel around, you probably could find them. So what can they people do? What's the main thing that people can do to help you guys out?
Well, I would tell you
the system technologies.
I would tell you if we have somebody that like has an Alzheimer's patient, or they've got a young child, you know, that suffers from some kind of an emotional situation. If they would maintain a file, I mean, actual file of their picture. and personal information descriptors so that they could give it to us when we arrive on the scene. And a lot of people don't know this, but these canines that we have are constantly training. I mean, every week they're out training. And
they're amazing, by the way, just for the record. They're absolutely incredible.
But if you're out in the listening audience and you've got a child and you're concerned that they may come up missing, get a hold of us at the sheriff's office. We'll have those dogs come out and do training at your residence. Now, is that cool or what?
That's really cool. I didn't know that.
That is.
Hey, and you know, and so something Coy and I have noticed also through this process, and actually we had a team debriefing a few weeks ago, but a lot of our subjects that go missing, there's some common patterns. Like we see Alzheimer's patients quite a bit, obviously children, that type of thing. So like what Coy's saying about keeping some basic information is absolutely essential and critical.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're getting ready to go to another break. We've got a caller. Hang on to through the break with us, Jim. We'll get back to your question just as soon as we get back.
We'll get Jim on in just a moment, and you're welcome to be right after Jim if you like. 918-460-KRMG, 95920 to text messages to the geeks. And remember, whatever you've missed, you can listen to tomorrow. We definitely... We encourage binge listening to Geek Speak. Listen to it 5 or 6 times, iTunes or Google Play. For now, it's on the radio. Geek Speak on News 102.3 KRMG. All set to go with our final segment of Geek Speak on News 102.3 KRMG. Bob Cooper, along with David Harrelson and Robert Morris, the usual suspects. Also at the desk today, Major Coy Jenkins and Nathan Parks from Rogers County. Glad to have both of you with us as our guests on Geek Speak. David, take it away.
There we go. All right. Mics are on. We've got Jim Smart holding for us. Jim, we've only got 6 minutes in this segment, so what's your question here real quick, sir?
Go ahead, Jim.
I was wondering what kind of drones. Yes, wondering what kind of drones you all use and how you incorporate them, and if you use thermal imaging and what kind.
So with the drones, yes, we actually had some drones donated to the sheriff's office a while back by a gentleman by the name of Mr. Lewis Moore, and we greatly appreciate that. And so we're actually going through the certification process right now of how to utilize that type of equipment. We have deployed them in other cases with regard to thermal. There has been times where we've called out Tulsa's helicopter, and they've done some thermal imaging for us at night to help us look. I will say this, though. When it comes down to drones and helicopters, when you're talking about a pretty massive area, it gets very, very hard. It's like, hey, where do you focus that drone at? Where do you focus the helicopter at?
Yeah, and most of the drones, especially if it's a drone that's kind of used commercially as well as residentially, your airtime is probably only going to be about 25 minutes at most.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then you got to bring it down and put another battery in there. But as far as the thermal imaging on the drones that they use, I think if we told you, we'd probably have to come and kill you or something. I don't know. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that on the air.
So I guess we had another question. Question that was
We just want to thank. We want to thank you for your call, and we got another caller we're going to go to here real quick. Unless this question was – no, that's a different guy. Yeah. Thank you for your call. We're going to go to the next caller right now. Here we go.
Hello there. You're on Geek Speak. How can we help you today?
Hey, yes, sir. I had just a question. On my son's tablet, y'all talking about data and going over. Try to make this short and sweet. He has a tendency to go over his data, and – he carries the tablet in his backpack. If the data is off, will you guys still be able to ping it the data is off?
No. So if
Does it have a cellular device in it?
It's an AT&T tablet. You know, I'm just telling you.
So if he goes over on his data, right? So once he reaches that max, his device will still communicate with AT&T's towers. But what's occurring is they're going to throttle that so he can't access too much. But it's still communicating. So in that context, I would still be able to ping AT&T, and they'd be able to give me some information about that. They can usually tell, okay, it's this direction off this tower and sector such and such at this range. So most likely, even if he's over his data, as long as his data is still on, there's still some benefits.
So maybe you couldn't use your applications like Glimpse and Snapchat because those are tied directly to the data. But as far as the police department being able to ping the carrier being AT&T, they could still do that.
You know,
that would count as like even with the cell phone too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Same scenario. Yeah.
I'm glad all you right. brought this question up, because I think Coy and I really want to communicate to the public that, hey, you really, as a parent, you really need to be looking at your children's devices with regard to location services, with regard to what type of apps you can use. You need to be able to know where your children are at. And you have an amazing computer in their hands, if they have a phone, that can tell you that information at any given time. And so you need to be aware of that. Do the homework. Do the research. Yep. Look at apps.
Check out that Glimpse app. That's a really good one. It's called Glimpse. G-L-I-M-P-S, I think.
It's with a Y. But yes, Glimpse.
All right, cool. Well, hey, thank you, fellas. I appreciate the show.
Thank you. And, thank you for listening.
And I don't get a chance to listen that often. Just kind of get a chance to listen back and forth to my short trips to work. But, hey, you guys have fun, and thanks a lot, and love you guys.
All right, hit us up on the podcast. All right, thank you.
You got it.
I wanted to, Dave, talk about a couple other little things that I think would be interesting. You know, we talk about the helicopter air support. Sometimes we call upon the Tulsa Police Department to send a helicopter out, and that has been very, very effective, particularly during the day. And then, of course, you have a thermal imagery at night. But what we're doing now on our horses and our canines, we're getting ready to put a light source on them so that they can be spotted very, very easily at night in the event that somebody sees them out there searching. They know that that's a search element, and that's been very, very effective for us.
And is that sort of like the strobing that they do on the troops?
Yeah, I would say very, very much so. And this particular light source that we're getting, it actually has a capability to project a strobing type of a light. Mm. So it's going to be good. Man, these situations involving Alzheimer's, we've noticed in our searches, and we've done several of those on our Alzheimer's patients, There's a trend. They tend to leave without a warm coat on. They generally go in circles. When we're searching for them, it's a real close, confined search. The last one that we had, we used a canine, and our canine went from door to door to door for about an hour in a neighborhood. And the reason we found out later was the particular person that was lost was going from door to door to door to try to find warmth. So.
That's fantastic information to know. I mean, first thing you would do is call your neighbors and just alert them. Hey, dad's missing, mom's missing.
Yes, let's do a search in the neighborhood.
Yeah, check your outbuildings. Just, you know, maybe they're probably not that far away is what you're saying, right?
That is correct.
All right.
If the car's gone, they still might be driving in a circle
a good scenario. That's not a good scenario.
Oh, man, I wish we had more time today on the Geek Speak Show. Robert, real quick, tell them how to get a hold of you at Ms. Oak, and I'll wrap it up with Data 3, and we'll get out of here.
www.misok.com or 918-234-9991, David.
Data 3, 918-237-4400, www.datathree.com. I want to give out a special thanks to Major Jenkins and Deputy Parks. Thank you so much for coming in and giving out this.
Man, we appreciate you having us here, too.
This is fantastic information.
Thank you guys very much.
You guys are welcome
to come back. Again. I don't think we got it all in, David.
No, we didn't get it all in. But
if we don't get lost, we'll be back.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you, listeners. Tune back in next week.
Shall we gather again? Yeah. Shall we at the river or anywhere else?
Anywhere else, man.
Thanks for listening to Geek Speak. News, weather update, then an encore performance of Alan Storjan and Storjahan and the KRMG Garden Show up next on News 102.3 KRMG.